Thank you and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's always a joy and a pleasure each Lord's Day morning at this same time to bring to you the gospel of Christ. We're always happy to know you're listening, and we have heard several tell us this week that they were listening to the broadcast, and for that we're very grateful. We're hopeful not only that you will listen, but that you will invite your friends to listen also. We believe our studies together can be profitable because the Word of God is profitable. We do not seek to ask for money. We do not seek to ask for anyone to help us out in these things that are given in the Bible. We believe the Word of God to be indeed that. Eye hath not seen, Paul said, nor ear heard, 1 Corinthians 2:9-11, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man that is in him? And even so the things of God knoweth no man, save the Spirit of God. We need then to be sure that we are following the truths revealed to us by the Spirit of God. He knows the mind of God, and otherwise we could not know what God's desires for us is. This is no doubt the reason Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And in verse 6 of Hebrews 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Friend, do not trust in your feelings, do not trust in your opinions, but rather put your trust in the Word of God. For Romans 10:17 says, now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We want to speak today on the subject, lest we forget, because it is important for us to remember so many things concerning our Lord and his will. You know, to the youth, Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In 1 Timothy 6, beginning verse 6, there Paul writes, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and neither can we carry anything out. But having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that are minded to be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, such as drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which some reaching after have been led astray from the faith, and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This, of course, coincides with what our Lord said in Matthew 6, when he said, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll love the one and hate the other, or he'll cling to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You know, if we're not careful as children of God, we will forget that there's more to life than making money and the pursuit of pleasure. That rich farmer, you know, was condemned because in all of his endeavors, he left God and his fellow man completely out of his life. And as a result of this, the Lord said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and who shall these things be which thou hast provided? Luke 12, we find that record. Now in this, of course, his material riches blinded him to the brevity of life. He didn't realize that life would soon be over, and he would not be prepared to meet his God. It says, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there shall I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. Luke 12:17-19. Now, my friends, in this we see his great mistake. He has left God out of his plans. And he thinks within himself, that he has so many goods that he will have many years to use them. He might have the goods, but he could not assure himself of the years. And through the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, which 1 John 2:15-17 says is worldliness, the devil, of course, can blind us to who we are and what we should be doing. And as one studies the parable of the rich man, there are numerous lessons for children of God. And if we have ears to hear, let us hear. Lest we forget, life is more than the things we possess. Have you found that to be true? In Luke 12:15, There the Lord said, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Now that's not generally true with the way the world thinks, is it? There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends of that way are the ways of death. You know, every material possession that we have can be taken from us while in this life, and without question, of course, in death. Jesus said in Matthew 6:19-21, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust can consume and thieves can break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot consume and thieves cannot break through and steal. For where thy treasure is, there thy heart is also. Where, my friends, is your heart this morning? Is it in the service of God? Is it in that as the first and foremost of all the things in your life? In Matthew 6:33, he said, Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. So we realize God doesn't want us to be paupers, but he does want us to understand who is to be first. He wants us to understand what is to be first. And Paul reminds us often as he makes the statement, For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that we can carry nothing out. 1 Timothy 6:7. So lest we forget, life is more than the things which we possess. But lest we forget also, God must be first in our lives. That's what we've just noticed. Everything we have comes from the benevolent hand of God. Every good gift, says James 1:17, and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow that is cast by turning. So in Matthew 6:24-32, Jesus assured his disciples that God will take care of their real needs. And then he says, But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Christians must not allow their job, their family, their friends, their recreation, or anything and anyone to come before God. I believe the greatest definition that I've ever heard of worldliness is simply this. Whatever you put before God is worldliness. If it be your family, if it be your friends, if it be your recreation, or anything that you may do that would put something ahead of God, that, my friends, is worldliness. So lest we forget, let us remember these things. And lest we forget our fellow man. You know, our fellow man is a fellow traveler with us through life. We speak as one dying mortal to another, and as one reads the entire account of that rich farmer in Luke 12:13-21, he sees the rich farmer had the eye trouble. He had the me trouble, my trouble, mine. That was a problem with him, wasn't it? Oftentimes, people have that kind of problem. They think only of themselves. They think of no one but themselves. Now, no one time did God think, or did this man think rather of God and his fellow man. No, he was thinking only of himself. And so not only must children of God put their faith and trust in God, they must also remember their fellow man. Not only are there people in physical needs, but much more there are those in spiritual needs. And it is the obligation of Christians to try and reach the lost souls with the soul-saving gospel of Christ and his glorious body, the Church of Christ. You know, it is said that we should put nothing ahead of the Lord, and we should put nothing ahead of the teaching of others, of our fellow men. In 1 Timothy 4:16, there Paul said to Timothy, Take heed unto yourself and unto the teaching which you're doing. Continue in these things, for in doing this thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. In Mark 16:15-16, after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, Jesus said, Now go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. If you can add 1 + 1, or 1 + 1 = 2, you can see what he is saying here. He that believeth, (1), and is baptized, (2), (3) shall be saved. Oh, I know there are those who tamper with that text. There are those who do not believe it. That doesn't mean it's not there. It still reads the same as it is read for over 2,000 years. My friends, you cannot fail to see that we, if we love our fellow man, are going to try to teach and preach to him the gospel of Christ. in Acts 2:38, after Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus whom ye crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ." And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter and the rest of the apostles said, "Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you, it's unto your children, it's unto all of them that are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation." And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Verse 47 says, "They were praising God, had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved." Have you forgotten your fellow man to teach him the right way of the Lord? You know we need to do that. If we only think of self, we will defeat our purpose as children of God. But lest we forget, we too shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In Psalms 23:4, after he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters." He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, whether rich or poor, whether educated or illiterate, all races, young, middle-aged, and old, death is no respecter of persons, is it, my friend? Death is going to come to all. Hebrews 9:27 says that. "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that cometh the judgment." So in our daily activities, let us heed the admonition of the psalmist, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Psalms 20, verse 12. So in noticing these thoughts, lest we forget, we must remember our fellow man, we must remember our Father in heaven and his will for us on earth, and we must remember that if we want to pass through the valley of the shadow of death safely, we must do so with the Lord by our side. You know, by worldly standards, that rich farmer in Luke 12 would be considered very successful. But God looked into his heart as well as his actions and judged him a complete failure. Notice what he says in verse 20 of Luke 12. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. And then who shall these things be which thou hast provided?" Now a fool is one who acts contrary to right reasoning. This man was a fool because he acted contrary to the way he should have lived and he should have conducted his life. And this night, he was not expecting that, but this very night, thy soul is required of thee. In other words, it's going to pass from your body. You know, James said in James 2:26, "For the body without the spirit is dead, and so also is faith without works." Oh, how we need to study that passage and understand what it is saying. So this man was a fool because his soul was required of him and he wasn't ready. He wasn't prepared. And so he must prepare himself if he's going to walk through that valley of the shadow of death before that time comes. Jesus said, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Mark 8, verse 36, 37. My friends, there is nothing equal in value to the soul God has given us and placed within our body. And when it comes to the time of departure, we must realize, lest we forget, that we too shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Are you preparing for that? Have you heard the gospel and believed it? Have you repented of your sins and confessed the name of Christ before men with your mouth as the Lord commanded? Have you been baptized, buried in water, for the remission of sins in the likeness of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ? If you have not, it doesn't matter how many pastors may have told you different. It doesn't matter how many priests may have said that's not necessary. My friends, it is necessary because the Lord has said it. So lest we forget, let us remember to prepare for that time when we too shall walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Lest also we forget, we shall be going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, that's something we need to know, don't we? If you had to go today before the judgment seat of Christ, how would it be with you? You know, like that rich farmer, we can also be caught up in the things of this life, insomuch that we forget Paul's inspired admonition. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things that are above, and not on things of the earth. Colossians 3:1-3. Now Paul, of course, in using the word if here, is not doubting if the Colossian brethren had obeyed the gospel. If they had been risen with Christ, that of course is an act of coming forth out of the waters of baptism. And he'd already said in Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also we are raised with him through faith in the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. Now we would have said today, since ye have been risen with Christ, what should be the result? Well, you should seek those things which are above. A seeker is one who has an object in mind. A seeker is one who knows what he's looking for, and he's seeking for it. He will not give up until he finds it. We are to seek those things which are above. Now, the word things here represents, of course, the commandments of the Lord. And those things which we are to give the most heed to, Hebrews 2:1, we're not to ever let them slip away from us, because these are the commandments of heaven. And so seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. You know, that destroys premillennialism, which says, oh, the Lord is coming back someday to reign on a literal throne over in the city of Jerusalem, and he'll reign and rule there a literal 1,000 years. That's simply not the case. Yes, one day, our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will appear in the clouds of heaven in all of his magnificent glory, at which time we're told in Matthew 25:31-32, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all of his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep, or as a shepherd, divideth his sheep from the goats. At which time, all mankind will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one of us may give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether it be good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Now, my friends, the righteous will hear the welcome words of our Lord. Then shall the King say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. Now the unrighteous will hear the dreaded words of our Savior, because it says, then shall he say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels. Matthew 25:41. Oh no, that place wasn't prepared for us. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if we live in harmony with the devil's will, we too shall be a part of that. You know, that which causes man to forget his sin, and in the excellent desires to learn the truth of that which sin's effects has upon individuals, we need to study, don't we? Because nothing corrupts and pollutes and destroys like sin does. Men may deny it. They may want to minimize it. They want to mock it. They want to rationalize it. They want to change words such as homosexual to gay, or they want to change abortion to that which is simply something that everybody does. But the Bible is clear about the exceeding sinfulness of sin. In Romans 7:13, he says, and the commandment which was ordained to life found to be death, he said, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just and good. So, if we are not alert to the awfulness of sin, we may find ourselves corrupted by its effect upon us. Here are some things that sin will do to you. Sin will dull your ears. In Acts 28:27, there Paul said, for the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Yes, he's quoting Isaiah. Lest they at any time should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I would heal them. Sin dulls the ears. It'll make it where you can't hear. Sin can render it very difficult for us to hear God. But then second of all, sin darkens our understanding. In Ephesians 4:18, there he talks about sin doing that. Even if one doesn't hear the word, sin can so cloud our judgment that we fail to properly understand and apply the truth. And so we do not want to do that, that certainly would be against that which the Lord would want of us. Sin also diverts our feet. You know, Isaiah 53 and verse 5 and 6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Sin not only dulls our ears, dulls our understanding, but it diverts our feet. You know, it causes us to choose a different direction, an alternate route, if you please. But it's a path that leads to perdition and destruction. Then again, number four, sin defiles our tongue. In Romans 3, beginning verse 12, he says, "They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways." Now watch it, friend. Why is this so? "And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." Our world and our nation is rapidly going toward that direction. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And if that be true, then they're going to turn to other things. Their throat is going to be like an open grave. It stinks. And their tongues, they've used deceit so much that it becomes a habit. And the poison of asp is under their lips, by which they can destroy life. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Does it not distract you, my friends, when on television people use the term, "Oh my God, oh my God"? They don't mind that they have put God out of their thinking, and they do not use it in a reverential way. And so sin diverts their feet. They choose a different direction, an alternative route, but the path that leads to perdition and destruction therein. Fourth of all, sin defiles our tongue. A person's character, you know, it will inevitably manifest itself by our conversation. In Matthew 12, 34 through 37, Jesus said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the treasure of evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." In Proverbs 10, verse 28 through 32, he said, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth or inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous shall know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked shall speak frowardness." Well, here's our tongue defile. Then fifth of all, sin deceives our heart. In Jeremiah 17:9, he said, "The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Well, through lies, sin works on our heart, doesn't it, to keep us from properly seeing and doing the things about inquiry or iniquity in our lives. We will not change because sin deceives our heart. We say that which is evil is good, and that which is good is evil, and so we are deceived, and our heart does not tell us the right way that we ought to go. Sin also dooms our soul. You know, in Ezekiel 18:4, he said, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also is the soul of the Son. It is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And in Ezekiel 18, verse 19 through 21, "Yet say ye, why? Doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live." Now, friend, because your father is evil doesn't mean you have to be evil. But he says here in verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from his sins that he hath committed, and keep my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Oh, my friends, how we need to be reminded, don't we, that sin dulls the ears, darkens the understanding, diverts the feet, defiles the tongue, deceives the heart, dooms the soul. So how we need to hate and shun sin as never before. And without question, that which keeps children of God from drifting and eventually departing from God is the daily walk with God through prayer and Bible study and faithfully assembling with the saints and being about our Father's business. You know, the Bible does teach that the Bible is important to our lives. The Bible class is important to knowledge. You can attend the Bible class this morning at the Get Well Church of Christ. We begin our Bible study at 9:30, and that, of course, with classes for all ages. You can bring your children, bring your family, and let us study together from the Word of God. Our worship service begins at 10:20, and then, of course, this afternoon at 4:30, we have singing, and at 5 o'clock, we have our regular worship service, and then each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we meet together again to study and to understand better the way that we are to live. We're hopeful, my friends, that you won't forget these things, but that you remember exactly what we have talked about today. We cannot afford to forget our fellow man, or that we'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or that we shall appear before the judgment seat one day. And we must not forget that sin is the destroyer, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are those things which will condemn us, even as it condemned Adam and Eve in the beginning. You know, the devil not only approached Adam and Eve with those three things, but he also approached the Lord with that when he tempted him in Matthew 4. And Jesus would say each time, "It is written, get thee hence, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Him only shalt thou serve. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Lest we forget, do we not need to be reminded this morning? Been a pleasure to be with you by means of this radio broadcast. We're looking for you in our services at the Get Well Church of Christ today. We're at 1511 Get Well Road, easy to find. Be sure and come and be with us. We would love to have you visit, and we would love to have you obey the gospel of Christ. So if we may be of assistance to you in any way, we certainly offer you those services. But our time being gone, we're going to have to bid you a very pleasant good morning.